listening to The Daily Controversy. To learn more about us, go to www.thedailycontroversy.com. You can also listen to us on Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio by typing in The Daily Controversy. On the line, we have David Fanning from LPL Financial. And David, I sent you this article, and it says, Why Biden's Inflation Reduction Act is a Socialist Trojan Horse. And it basically, you know, it goes into detail about how this really has nothing to do with the reducing inflation. It was a green energy deal that was a boondoggle to a lot of these special interest companies that basically fund the Democrats. And it was sold to the American public, oh, it's going to cost $300-400 billion. It looks like it's going to be well over $1 trillion. And that's the way it always is. The estimates on these things are always much lower. But it's kind of amazing because, you know, inflation is still over that 2%, which the Federal Reserve says we need it to be. And it was at, you know, 9-10% just a little while ago. Now it's down to, like, you know, maybe a little over 3%. But all the people don't realize, like, that's great that it's gone down, but the what already happened is already built in. Like, it's not going away. That those costs are always going to be there. I just wanted to get your thought as a financial advisor. Why did the government try to sell this as a way to impact inflation, and how does this actually hurt the consumer?
Well, the article's well put together because it pretty much explains it on its own, where you have a transfer of wealth once again. And I know when I first began to study these types of things, I was thinking, transfer of wealth, but that's really what's been going on for quite some time now. And I think in the article itself, Adam Smith wrote in 1776, The Wealth of the Nations, where he talked about the free enterprise system being free choice of consumer. When you cause the ones that are in control to control the products and what we get, that's when you start getting back into the tyranny situation. And that's pretty much what's been happening. You think about the light bulbs, you know, I like the old light bulbs, you know, and then these other light bulbs, they say it's going to last 10 years, and I'm lucky if it's going to last 10 days, you know. So we've got these people taking control now of the energy sector. When we were energy independent, almost energy dominant, and you have to ask the question, why would you do that? And on top of that, when you do that, you know that you're going to cause, you know, prices to go up. So it's the same old thing where the government, that is the power, those that are in power right now, caused the problem, then come up with a solution and blame somebody else for the problem instead of taking on the fact that they were the ones who caused the problem to start off with.
Yeah, you know, the fascinating thing to me is that, you know, America's only about 5-6% of the world population, right? I mean, you're talking about, and most of the pollution in the world comes from India and China, and they're building equivalent of like 1 or 2 coal plants per week, you know? I mean, I think that's just China. They're doing absolutely nothing to reduce their carbon. America's actually reduced its carbon footprint quite significantly, in large part because we've gone from coal-based to natural gas. Natural gas is about 50 to 60% more clean. It's more efficient. We have endless amounts of it. So it's a really good thing that we're doing that. But now we're not even able to explore for more natural gas, and it's causing prices of everything to go up. And that's something you learn, like, you know, economics 101. Like, if you're your energy costs are going to be passed on because that means the cost of shipping, like fruits and vegetables or meat, is going to go up, and then the people are going to pass that on to the prices. And so it creates this endless cycle. And if you start going, you know, getting away from an energy dominant economy, which we totally could be if we wanted to be, and you start to be really dependent, then the smallest little changes could affect, you know, the price of gas. And that's why I saw that there was a refinery fire in, you know, some part of the country, or there was one that had to deal with, like, I guess, the maintenance issues. And just the smallest things, or maybe like a hurricane, that could actually take out our ability to refine oil, and the prices could spike up 50 cents to a dollar very, very quickly. And there's no give in the system. Under President Trump, he had it to where, you know, it was almost so low that it was hurting the energy companies, because, you know, you could get, you know, it was like $2 a gallon or $1.80 a gallon, and that was pretty much the same for his entire presidency. 2% inflation. People remember that. And for Biden, it's now slightly less than it was like maybe a year ago, but it's still much higher, and people are realizing it. And I think the funny thing is he's trying to run on this Bidenomics, but I saw some polls among Democratic voters, and more than 70% of the Democrat voters don't think Bidenomics is worth working. In fact, some of the responses from this focus group, I think this one was made up of African-American men, and the comments about the economy was abysmal, horrible, impossible to make ends meet. I mean, just stuff that you would think that, you know, the Democrat Party would want to make sure they're trying to get the base of the party, you know, happy, but they're not. They're not doing it. And so it just seems like the working class side of the Democratic Party is gone. It's a party of Silicon Valley. It's the party of the East Coast, the wealthy elites, the Fortune 500 companies. And the Republican Party has really taken over dominance because people that are just looking to make an honest wage and get by, I mean, they've decided to either become apolitical or left the Democratic Party because there's really nothing that they do to reach out to them. And it's fascinating because you don't see solutions. You see them create more problems. And then the solutions are worse than the problems they created. I mean, it's this endless vicious cycle, and you think people wouldn't be this stupid, but they are. And I just, you know, I must be hard doing trying to figure out the financial problems in this situation.
Yeah, well, you know, if you want to talk about Bidenomics, your best word is stagflation. And what that simply means is that the economy is stagnant and has been for quite some time. The leading economic index says basically that 16 consecutive months in a row that that index has declined. So we've all felt this is not feeling right. Prices are so high. I don't feel like there's much going on. You know, there's a lot of underlying things. And when you talk about stagflation, that just means the economy's just putting along or not even doing anything. And then the inflation part makes it even worse because now your prices are not only going up. And of course, they would say, like you said, they say, well, no, it's gone down now. What we've got to understand is, just like you said, it's supposed to stay above 2%. That's one of the two objectives of the Federal Reserve. If they don't get the one of the points, then they therefore have failed. And the inflation part is one of those points. And by the way, the 3% plus compounds. So you're losing your buying power every single month when they say, okay, it was only 3.2 or 3.8 or whatever it is. Well, number one, that misses the two, which they're obligated to stay on. And then number two, that compounds. So that's not going away. It sticks, and it makes it so much harder when folks are losing their job or when folks are, you know, seeing that the economy is really not going well. And at the same time, they're seeing the big prices go up. The big problem that we run into in our area is that we are growing so much in the area, we don't realize the pain of the United States as a whole. But people are really, really suffering right now because of Bidenomics.
Yeah, I mean, there's ways that you can, get around it, I guess, if you are, you know, invested in the stock market wisely, like if you're diversified, if you're able to make higher returns. But I think a lot of the problem is, like, you know, if you're making a six-figure salary, then you probably have it's a little easier to set aside the money you need to plan for your retirement, plan for, you know, these expenses that you might come up with. But if you're just struggling to get by living paycheck to paycheck, I mean, a lot of the people that were setting aside money during the Trump administration, able to invest maybe a little bit with like a financial advisor like yourself, some of those people have just struggled so much because the price of goods and services is so high that they're barely getting by. And so really you need to make almost a certain amount of income before you can start investing, at least in a bigger way. I think no matter how much you make, it's a good idea to put some money aside for the future, because that's just making wise decisions and good choices. But it does really complicate things, because the people that were moving up and getting into like investments and all that stuff, now they're at a situation where they're having to decide between setting aside money for the future or paying the bills they have for this week. And that's a frustrating place to be in because of Bidenomics.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is that, you know, people still have to learn to discipline themselves to pay themselves versus paying everybody else. And what I mean by that is, when you put investment in, you know, when you put your money in investments in your name, so to speak, versus if you go, you know, pay a loan for a house or a car or whatever it is. So people have to get in the discipline of paying a check to themselves. They got to pay a check to their investment and get that, continue to get that going. And so many people don't. I mean, you know, if you're working with a company that's got a 401k and they got a match, I always tell people, I say, if they give you a 3% match and you do the 3%, you've already got you 100% return, because they're matching dollar for dollar. In most cases, they do this. And why in the world would you just leave free money on the table, you know? So that's one way to motivate yourself to say, I got to discipline myself to pay myself to make sure that I do this 401k or whatever it is that they're doing. And at the same time, you look at your higher net worth clients, which I deal with a lot with a lot of those folks. And now, like you said, the times of uncertainty is just unbelievable. I think in my lifetime, I've never seen so much uncertainty. You know, you got your inflation, you got real wages decline, you got gas going up, you got the U.S. government and all other governments that are really in horrible debt right now. You got the banks that are on the verge of some of them, you know, bankrupting, if you want to call it that. You got the excess savings rate, you know, that people have are about exhausted now. You got the currencies now being challenged. You know, the interest rates, 7%, you know, 20-year high. Credit cards over 20%. Student loans about to come back on the payments. I mean, I'm just listening to these things so quickly. And this is the kind of uncertainty that we have. And so, you know, not only when we talk about financial planner and being able to have somebody you can trust and making sure that they're doing a good job with diversification, but you're also looking at the idea of protection. Where there are times, there are moments when you want to try to protect your wealth. And that's one thing I did time into as well. And I'd love to sit down with some folks about that and say, here's some things that I do, some strategies I put together in your situation to help you preserve your wealth. If you've got quite a bit of money that you're trying your best to keep from, you know, being stolen.
All right. Thank you so much, David. We're out of time. We will talk more about this, and I'll put the stuff out. Thanks.